So I think we have to be very acutely aware of the deception. They are also proposing a bill which will outlaw the use of oil or gas for electricity within this country by 1985. And if they pass that bill, that will be a package invitation to the nuclear utilities to go ahead with their plans. I think that nuclear, the movement against nuclear reactors, we know is worldwide, but at the same time, it lends itself to local organizing and local action because people are directly, economically, and environmentally affected by it. Thank you.
Microphone number two.
My name is Lynn Cisneros. I'm from New Mexico. I'm a college graduate with a BA. And I just want to say that I'm real proud to be a woman. And I think y'all, I get nervous too. I never was. But I think you've started something good. And I just want to, I wonder sometimes how you keep it up.
I think that it's very difficult to be a woman and do anything in these issues. I think that most of the people that you see in front of you, I don't know this for a fact, but my impression from my life and the ones that I know, most of this are working in sort of 1 to 10 or 1 to 100 ratios. And we feel it a lot. Every day, every week, you notice little things, big things. You wonder if you should go on and if you can go on. But clearly being in an environment like this is the sort of thing that you go away and it makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Microphone number one.
We're putting a man's voice in a lady's organization.
We're glad to have it.
I'm Rudy Cipolla. I'm presently living in McAllen, Texas, which is 360 miles southwest of here down on the Rio Grande Valley River. Now, one more preface to this. I've been exposed from ERA since from my wife's experience in high school. She is also chairman in McAllen of Church Women United, coming up on the board for Church Women United in Texas. We attended the Church Women United Assembly in Purdue this summer. So I was exposed to 3 days of a women's organization meeting. I was very much impressed. I made a man's report at the state meeting of the Church Women United from a man's viewpoint, so I thought I would add mine here. I'm interested in common cause, and I'm very much, I get the same reaction a little bit here as I did at Purdue, that we have our theories, both in common cause and otherwise. But when I go out on the street or to approach someone, the tone, the story is different. I'm almost getting gun-shy asking people to join common cause. And here we're working for democracy. The second point I make is that I'm concerned having on one mailing list, I get many appeals for funds. And I feel that there are too many organizations working for the same purpose. We're splitting our resources, which do not match anywhere, those which are on the other side. And this, as it relates to Congress, it doesn't look very encouraging at this point that we're going to have a very friendly Congress next year. I mean, the millions being collected by the far right as contrasted with those in the moderate group are, well, I think at the present time it's something like less than half. Now, the other thing I would suggest that people are apathetic. Oh, dear, there goes the sign. I'd like to see some more TV publicity. People don't read anything. Maybe you could expose them on TV if there's some national group could do this.
Thank you so much, sir. I think your point about money is very important.
I'd like to reply to that just briefly. In Australia, when I organized or taught the people about the dangers of fallout about the French tests, I didn't have a bean to my name, but the media were interested in that, so I had a lot of television exposure, and you'd perfectly absolutely correct. That's the only way to educate people, because it gets into every single sitting room of every house in the country. That's the first thing. The second thing, when I talk the unions and the Australian people about the dangers of mining uranium, and now there's going to be a national election in a few weeks about that very issue, like a presidential election, and there's a huge ferment going on in Australia right now, with thousands of people marching in the streets each week in all the main cities of Australia. I didn't have a cent to my name then. So you don't have to have money, you have to have absolute motivation, absolute commitment, and use every single waking and sleeping minute working out what your next move is. And if you get blocked there, you go round it or above it to reach your goal.
If I may respond to the brave man who was at Purdue University, where I also was, among 3,000 churchwomen united, I would just like to point out that there are many coalitions being formed all over the country. I'd meant to say this before and didn't have enough time to do it. There is a group in Philadelphia called Mobilization for Survival. They are proclaiming a week in next April as Save Our Communities Week, and this will be from March 26th to April 2nd, with emphasis on how money now spent on the arms race can be channeled into much-needed community programs. There is a... students are particularly active. There are teach-ins in the campuses in California, at Dartmouth. I don't want to go through all of it now. I just want you to know that if you want to really be effective and not do your own thing within your organization and split the movement into many, many different fragments, do look around to see where there is a coalition being formed. And remember, Operation Turning Point that I mentioned before is a very, very serious attempt to pull it all together, and of course it needs your help locally.
Thank you very much. Microphone number two.
I'm Ellie Haney from Minnesota, and I agree that we should do our homework and that we should be concerned about arms reduction. I have a plea, however, to make, that we go a step further than that and look at the value orientation that lies beneath and shapes the context of discussing the arms race, and that what we need to be making, along with economic and other kinds of connections, are some feminist connections about the connections between being a masculine person in this society and war and violence. And so I would like to see you all, I wish very much that you would address yourselves to that dimension of the debate.
I think that's a very important aspect of it that we skirted around, but I think we're all very aware of it, and I thank you for pointing that out. Microphone number one.
I'm Medora Hamilton from New Hampshire. I'm an anti-nuclear power plant activist. Some of the things that I would like to see happen in the next couple of years, next year I would like to see half of the United States Congress and Senate, well, I know it's not possible in the Senate, but of the Congress being women. And I know that women can't be elected if they don't run. We've just got to get more people, more women in Congress, so that some of these issues, when they come up, can be dealt with from our perspective. You know, it's one thing to lobby. It's another thing to be able to vote on those bills. Now, one person made comment about Mr. Carter's position on the Breeder reactor. Now, it's true. Now, he voted against the Breeder bill, but the money for that Breeder bill was in another bill. It wasn't in that same bill, and that other bill wasn't necessarily voted down. Now, I would also like to see in the coming few years women getting out in the street. Dr. Mead talked about men choosing to die and women choosing to live. It has come to the point, as far as nuclear power plants and nuclear proliferation of weapons goals, where women are going to have to choose to die also. We have to die, possibly, no, hopefully not, but we have to put our lives on the line in order to save future generations. The problems from nuclear waste, our state is planning on building a nuclear reactor, two of them, to supply 85% of the electricity for our state.
very cold in the wintertime, which is a peak load time. If a conch out comes like happened in New York in January, there are going to be a lot of deaths, because even though we depend on imported foreign fuel for heat, those furnaces are mostly started by electricity. We've got to get our power, our energy sources under control of the people. That's for weapons as well as for peaceful use. Thank you
very much. Dr. Caldicott will have to leave in a few minutes to make a plane. Yvonne Burke and I were supposed to sum up, and we've just decided we're not going to sum up. We will use the rest of the time to allow people to keep speaking, and then when we adjourn, we will adjourn, because we think you've probably heard enough from the panel. So back to the microphone number two.
I'm Ruth Gage Colby of Another Mother for Peace. The goal of this organization is to stop the atom before it stops us. Anyone who has listened to this magnificent panel this morning knows that you can't exaggerate the danger in which we are now living. It's a jeopardy which has never been equaled, never, on this planet. The atom is one. There is no peaceful atom. It's all lethal. The atom is a symbol of death. Everybody ought to go to Japan and live there for a while and know what happened, really happened at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and what is still happening in the hospitals of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We have the greatest battle to wage in conquering the atom before it conquers us. Our beautiful planet is threatened by this evil, which was described as fiendishly toxic when it was made in the laboratory of Glenn Seaborg, an American nuclear scientist. Now we have tons of this fiendishly toxic element in our planet Earth. I think of Valentina Tereshkova, the first little astronaut, woman astronaut, to circle the globe, in fact, more times than any man had ever done. And she looked down upon the earth and she said, I saw this beautiful blue globe circling in space. And I said, may it never, never be blackened by atomic ash. I second that prayer.
Microphone number one.
Hello.
Hello.
Especially to Mrs. Burke. I've been wanting to see you for a long time. My name is Shirley Cheek. I am an observer. I would like to talk about peace and that very popular subject that the president uses, human rights. I feel that before we can go around the world and speak of human rights and peace, let it happen right here in America first. Let it happen here for us. We need some peace. We need some human rights. I don't feel that I have seen my fair share of this beautiful human rights that the president is always talking about. Tell him I want to see it here in Houston. I want to see it here. I want to see it somewhere else. I want to see it around in America. Sure, I went to Washington, D.C. To be frank, I wasn't too impressed because I didn't see too much of it there. Show it to me first before you go around the nation and show it to the other folks.
Thank you.
May I just take one moment to respond? I certainly agree that we have to have a priority of having human rights here. But I'm not sure that's an excuse to say that we can allow people to be beaten, to be tortured, and use our money to torture them around the world. So I think that, of course, we want human rights here. But that doesn't mean that we can take a back seat and allow our money to go over to other places to suppress those people. If we're going to have any credibility in this world, we're going to have to fight for human rights in the United States and also abroad. Because, you see, we have supported too many dictators in this world. And, you know, it's not just a matter that we live in a vacuum. Your children and my children are the ones who are going to have to die in that nuclear holocaust. So that if we want to have human rights at home, we're also going to have it abroad. I don't think we can talk about first and second. We have to have a constant fight for human rights. But we spend millions and millions and million dollars on foreign aid. And that's not an excuse to continue that and allow those people who receive it to use that money to suppress, to torture. To me, see, one of the ways we're going to get human rights at home is when you have an elimination of the kind of treatment that blacks have experienced in South Africa. You can't separate it. As long as you're not a human being all over the world, you're never going to be a human being here. I just don't think you can separate the two. You have to work on both at the same time.
I think we're on our last question, unfortunately, because the time is out. Let's do microphone number two, and I'm sorry that has to be the last one, but the power goes off, I guess, at that point when we turn into pumpkins. I'm not sure what happened.
Can we do it without microphones?
No, because they have another program planned in here, and we will be most unpopular because they plan to move us out of here.
Well, quite candidly, I hope the panel feels some responsibility for taking additional time after being heard, and the rest of us limited to 2 minutes, and not really even that.
Well, I'm sorry. It's one of the terrific problems, but go ahead and please present yours.
I'm Grace Augie Emanuel. I'm a struggling playwright from Chicago, Illinois, and I'm glad I have to cut it short because I don't have much to say. I'm with Church Women United, and I'm dedicated to peace because I think it's blessed to be peaceful. I think that perhaps if we would use more money on social services, have money for social services for the poor people, regardless of what color they are, we could save that money that we're using to make nuclear weapons with and have it to put in the undeveloped nations, whether it's in wherever they need the money. We should use it instead of putting it in nuclear weapons. Thank you.
Madam Chair, may I say something about that? The world is spending $1 billion a day for the arms race and denying human rights here and abroad and around the world. That's a very simple fact to carry. The other thing that we haven't stressed perhaps enough is the terrible urgency of the situation. The arms race is escalating out of control. Pretty soon we won't be able to control it unless we stop right now. The other thing is that our adversary also would be subjected to world disarmament. We're not talking about simply throwing down our own arms. It must happen. It must happen next year and beginning at the special session at the United Nations. And women must have a voice. They must speak out now, because we haven't much time.
thank you all very much for participating. I wish we had more time. We could do this for, I think, 12 days or more even. It's a very lengthy topic. Let's do our homework. Let's continue to stay involved, and let's meet again. Thank you very much, and thanks to all the panelists.
Could I say one word, please?
Listen, if we have time for all that, we could have heard some more.